Today's New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Today's epistle lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And today's gospel reading is from the book of John, 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Before trying to organize what thoughts I could bring to you this morning, I read over the passages assigned in the lectionary for this Sunday, and I read again about the martyring of Saint Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr of the new Christian church. I knew what a martyr was, but I was interested in the origin of the word. Not knowing, I looked up the etymology of the word martyr. Etymology is a study of words, their meanings, and how those meanings of words change over time. The word martyr comes to us from Old English, where it came from Latin, which received the word from Greek. The word martyr in Greek literally means witness. This surprised me. We do not usually use the word witness and martyr as synonyms. The word martyr was then used in a secular sense, in a legal sense, of being a witness. But the use of martyr as witness came to mean something slightly different as the Christian church developed. So I looked up the word witness. Witness is another Old English word that combines the suffix ness, which means an action, state, or quality that is attached to a noun. The noun wit, also again from Old English, carries the meaning of understanding, intellect, sense, knowledge, consciousness, or mental capacity. To be a witness, using its secular sense, is often in a legal or political context. To settle legal disputes, you can be forced to be a witness. You can be compelled by subpoena, which means under penalty, to present before a court your knowledge or your understanding about the facts of legal matters. There are punishments for refusing to bring your knowledge and present it before a court. The use of martyr that emerged in the early church, the sense that we use today, emerges from this meaning of witness. It is from this religious sense of martyr that we get the notion of a person who suffers punishment or is killed for what they believe. Stephen was falsely accused of blasphemy and was brought before the high court of the Jewish elders, the Sanhedrin. Stephen's testimony, his witnessing in the theological sense, led to his martyring in this emerging theological sense. In arguing his innocence of the charges of blasphemy, Stephen enraged the court, and he is dragged outside the city to be killed. Stephen asked Jesus to accept his spirit, and he falls asleep, taken by the Lord in his witnessing during his martyring, taken from the place of his death to heaven. Stephen asked in Jesus' name, and it was done, as promised in the gospel lesson from John we heard earlier. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Stephen's knowledge, his wit concerning salvation through Jesus, leads through his suffering for his knowledge, and at his end he is reclaimed. Stephen calls out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And Stephen is heard, even as the psalmist called out in today's Psalter, where we recited, "He showed me the wonders of his love when I was a city under siege. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called out to you for help." After Stephen's statement of what he believes and knows to be true, he goes through a period of suffering. He is dragged outside of the city to be stoned to death. And then Stephen is reclaimed. In Acts 7, verse 56, "Look, I see a heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And in three verses later, after his witnessing, there is his reclamation. Stephen's words recall the words from today's gospel lesson, the words of Jesus trying to comfort his disciples. where Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." The message that Stephen testified to was rejected with violence. The example of Stephen becomes an event upon which the early church was built. As it is said, the stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone. Also foreshadowed in today's gospel reading is the figure of Saul. Saul witnesses, in a legal sense, the martyrdom of Stephen. Saul has knowledge of what was done to Stephen. Saul approves of the actions taken against Stephen. And as we know from the next chapter in the book of Acts, chapter 8, Saul assists in the early persecution of the church. It comes to pass, however, that Saul is called by God. He hears the voice of Jesus asking, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul is chosen as the instrument of God and becomes a new man with a new name, Paul. Paul uses his knowledge revealed to him through his calling on the road to Damascus as he is going there to persecute the members of the young church. Paul uses this knowledge to spread the good word of the risen Christ in his travels around the Mediterranean. Paul, too, eventually becomes a suffering martyr under arrest in Rome and is said to have been killed by the order of the Emperor Nero. The former persecutor is persecuted, entering into the afterlife where Jesus had gone on before and prepared Paul's place. St. Paul, St. Thomas, and Philip, all mentioned in today's readings, have their understanding of Jesus, whether through their contact with him directly or given as a revelatory calling from him. And their wit as knowledge becomes witness as martyr. The new knowledge that the disciples and later Paul gain will put them in conflict with their world. Their witness to the new way of Christ will pit them against the demands of imperial Rome and the religious laws of the Jewish people. The message in their hearts is a new message, a new way of making a way through life toward a new end. Their knowledge of Jesus will lead Thomas, Philip, Paul, and the other disciples through pain and suffering and often martyred ends, the redemption through Christ into the house of the Lord. Even as we are witnesses here now, sharing our knowledge of the risen Savior, we know that the way has been prepared for us. Our road might not run across places as difficult as Stephen's. The road might not be as wandering as the many preaching journeys of Paul. Our road might seem to be Thomas's way of doubt, and that road might have us wanting to be shown the end place before our journey is complete. Knowing that we know the way has been prepared, and suffering, perhaps only a little, after our revealed knowledge makes our journey less comfortable and less easy than we might wish, we are assured that we are reclaimed and that there's a place prepared for us by our Savior Jesus Christ, who is in the Father, as the Father is in him, and they wait for us to arrive. Doors open and ready. Let us be thankful that all is ready. Thanks be to God. Amen.